something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, everybody, and it is officially underway. Dry January. Welcome, everybody. Amy TJ here. Robes is doing this for the first time ever. It's a new year, and a lot of people do dry January. You're doing it for the first time.
You've inspired me. You do it. You've done it every year for the past 10 years except for last year, which is understandable.
Why? What was different about last January?
It was a tough January. So, yes, but we're in this together now,
yes.
And I have never done it. I've always done what I like to call a damp January.
Yeah. Which is, it makes sense, though, when you...
I reduce my drinking, but I wasn't willing to completely cut it out. But this year, this month... I have agreed, and I'm actually excited about it.
I have agreed. Like, I mean, it was a negotiation.
I have agreed to have a dry January, and I'm excited because I do like a challenge, and this will certainly be one for me.
And it's more so, it has been for me. Now, I feel great. It takes 2 or 3 days, and you just forget about drinking. You get into a new habit, a new routine of alcohol not being there when you have lunch or whatever it may be. But it's an exercise in personal discipline is why I like it more than anything. But the health benefit, I feel great.
Yeah, you told me in like 3 or 4 days, I'm going to feel the best I've ever felt.
You're going to feel great.
I cannot wait.
But then you're going to be at a restaurant, see somebody order an Aperol Spritz, and you say, yo, TJ.
This is killing me.
But that is a lot of folks out there, a lot of you that are listening. You have a New Year's resolution, and most people, the overwhelming majority, do have something related to health, fitness, in some way. Google puts out their resolutions related searches, their top searches, and working out, eating healthy were the top two. So
can you tell the fine folks what number three was? Because you shared that with me this morning and it was disturbing.
Brushing teeth.
And you know, if it said brushing teeth more often or 3 times a day.
Maybe.
But this is just in general, brushing teeth.
Well, maybe everybody has something different that they filled in the blank with. Brushing teeth more often. Brushing teeth every other day. I don't know what
wow.
they put in there, but maybe just brushing teeth was the search people adding on.
That is deeply concerning.
Okay. But working out, eating healthy. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you had some really fun stats for me this morning. You also told me, so Strava is this app that we use,
yes.
a lot of runners use to monitor how many miles we run, what our pace is. And it's fun. It's kind of like an Instagram for runners. You can follow other people. They can follow you. So you can get inspired by someone else's run. And they actually compiled a list of stats for last year. And it was really funny. So,
well, it's funny that they are able to pinpoint. And I know this is just the first week of January, so I don't want to be a downer on some of you all's health goals and resolutions that you've made. But many of you listening to me are going to fail miserably here in just a couple of weeks.
Like, just 3 weeks.
Yeah, they have proof. They have the evidence of this. They can tell in people's trends. They go way up while right at the beginning of the year because they're everybody's working out, and then they start to see them, and it's usually the third week of January when people start to fall off.
There's an actual date, right? January 19th?
This was one that was given years past. I can't remember which year, but yes, Strava, they put out this was the specific day that they saw this happen.
People just said, I'm done.
It's a wrap.
Just say, I hate running.
But it's not just running. It's gym memberships. This is the biggest month for gym memberships. A lot of you all have new ones. If you signed up for one in January, chances are in 6 months, 80% of you are going to be done with your gym membership.
July, you've got, yes,
it's a wrap.
You're done. So everyone, I think, knows what it's like to have a goal, to try to be disciplined, and then maybe to fall off the wagon, so to speak.
Oh, my God. Can I speak on that?
Okay.
Because there was... No, you may remember it. There was something called Fall Off the Wagon Day.
Oh.
Okay? That's a different day. I can't remember. I'm sorry. I can't give credit to what organization put it together. But they looked at activity, the trends in fast food consumption and the trends in working out. And Fall Off the Wagon Day is when they notice that the trends in fast food activity go up and the trends in working out go down.
Wow.
So we start to balance out again, and people go right back to the fast food and right back to not working out.
Well, you know, I think we could all use a little inspiration. And there is someone here in studio with us who is probably the most disciplined person I have ever met. And there's no day of rest or saying, I don't feel like it today, or any of that sort of mindset. And this is somebody who TJ and I met a little over a year ago and were so amazed by. And we thought, what a perfect person to bring onto the podcast today. He's here in studio with us because we could all use a little inspiration as we start our health and fitness goals. His name is Helis Adibe, and this is, well, he's got a lot of really amazing fun facts that I think are going to blow your mind. First of all, he was the first black man to run across America from New York to Los Angeles. It took him 84 days.
Still wondering why the hell he did that.
Averaged 36 miles a day. You're going to get
amazing.
To ask him in just
That's
a moment.
Amazing.
He is a former professional soccer player. He was born in Mali. He also, and this is, wow. He is what you call a run streaker. It doesn't mean he runs without clothing, which is where my mind went first. I'm sorry. Am I the only one?
You're the only one, sweetheart. You actually are the only one.
Okay, fine. He's a run streaker, meaning he has run every single day, regardless of the weather, regardless of what he did the night before, since 2017. So that's over 6 years. His rules are that he imposed upon himself, that he has to run outdoors. Woo! Mm-hmm. And he has to run at least 2 miles, but I believe he says he runs on average 7 miles a day. Wow. So without further ado, please welcome Hella into the iHeart Studios.
Thank
with
you.
Us.
Hella.
I feel really cool to be sitting with you guys again.
Oh, please.
The last time we were together was really fun. Love your energy. So it's a privilege to be here and talking and chatting more with you guys.
But it is so, and I wish more people could see you right now, because this is one of the things we walked away with when we first met you. That dude just makes you feel good. You want to be around him. You just have a smile and a joy.
I really do. Since that interview, I was just like, wow, these are the people I want to be around. No matter what happens, you leave, your cheeks are hurting because you just can't stop.
I remember
good.
Saying
it was all laughter and fun. That's what I like. That's what life has to be about.
And you have a real joy of running, but it didn't always start out that way. Yeah. So can we ask you, I said you were a run streaker. I explained what that meant. How many days are you on right now?
So after I ran this morning, so it's day 2,423 consecutive runs.
Every single day, no
Every
matter what.
Day.
What's been the biggest challenge you had? Like a logistical challenge. You were traveling or something and you could.
So going to Australia in 2019, I had GoPro who had invited me. So I called them really sad. I said, I can't do this because I'm going to miss my streak. And I said, because of running, I met you guys and I don't want to compromise. I was really sad because I wanted to go to Australia. It was 26 hours. So they said, how can we make this happen? They connected me with a travel agent. So I took 4 flights so I can get to Australia, so I can stop and get off the plane and get my running. So we made that happen. So I broke it down. I did a whole full YouTube video on it, just like explaining the whole scenario. We had video clips how I kept the streak alive. So that was a little tough logistically, but after that, I got the routine of it. When I went to South Africa, I stopped in Germany for 15 hours. so I can run. When I went back home to Mali recently, I made sure that there was plenty of time when I landed that I can run before the 24-hour window was closed.
So you don't like direct flights?
I don't like direct flights. I can't do it. Unless I'm just like in the transcontinental, which is fine. I'll have plenty of time. But I have to stop.
Now, you said those were some of your challenges. Yeah. What is kind of the, you remember a wacky or a weird thing you had to do or a place you had to run that normally you wouldn't? What?
Well, running across America, and also with the first black man, it's unofficial, but for 100% can say first African, because there's all these like, well, these guys did this, so I was just like, okay, I'm just going to say unofficial with that. But running through Arizona was really sketchy and really scary.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was scared for my life. And many times I went through some towns where, like, literally there's, like, a black figure that's being hung. You go through all these areas, just like, whoa. Yeah. And those areas, I've never had to run so fast in my life. I'd be so destroyed and so beat up, but I'm just like, you got to pick it up so you can get out of those areas. Those has happened, and getting chased by dogs and things like that. But there was a lot of more beautiful part than that. But those have been some sketchy areas during the transcon.
What he described, I've driven through some places in the South like that. Yeah.
Running's a little bit different, though, right? You're a little bit more exposed there. Can I ask you, what was the day that you said, today's day one, and I'm going to do this? Uh-huh.
So day one, I said May 15th, 2017, but it happened 3 days before. I just don't have proof of it. So May 15th, I started using my watch. So there's like run every single day from May 15th of 2017 up until today. But I started like a few days prior to that. I just got to a point where I was just sick of everything that was happening in my life. And I was just wanted to stop making excuses. I grew up playing soccer. I went to the University of Massachusetts playing soccer. And I had professional potential. Pro teams were coming after me. And then they always come down to, hella, we want you, but your visa status. We got to try to sponsor you. It's a lot of money. We'd rather pick a domestic player who's a resident. Even if they have less talent than you, we can develop them and get them to where you are without having to pay all of the money, all the visa stuff that's not even guaranteed. Right. So I wanted to stop pointing fingers. So I was depressed. I was always been a happy person, but my dream was getting pulled away. The first dream was being a pilot. That was pulled away since 9/11. You can't be on a visa. And I had finished ground school already. I was ready for air school when they stripped that away. Soccer was my next dream. Stripped away. So I just say, you know what, face something you're afraid of, that you're scared, and running hit me immediately because it was used as a punishment playing soccer, so I went for it.
You said those were two dreams, right, that were kind of taken away, pulled away for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. What did you have a third one, right? Was there even something else that was a backup plan to
there
the backup
no
plan?
There was third one. That was the last one. That's why I just went into this dark space that I couldn't get out of. I was miserable. You would look at me, Amy, I'd be pissed for no reason. You would smile at me. I don't want to look at you. I'm like, why are you smiling at me? That's how messed up I was.
Wow, man.
And I'm not a professional, but looking back, it was definitely signs of depression.
Signs of depression. Yeah. And I recall you were in a tough spot financially as well, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. When I signed a professional contract in Seattle for 1 year, which was a U.S. second division under the Seattle Sounders, Kitsap Pumas, and I remember the first week we were going to do grocery with teammates, and I had $0 in my bank account, and I knew that. So we went to like a store similar to Aldi. We went to a cheap place. Everybody filled up their card. I did mine too. And I get to the checkout line. Something told me, my gut told me, your card's going to get rejected. Because I've had times where I purposely know I had $0 and I'll swipe the card. It'll charge and I'll be negative and I'll be charged the fee. I thought that was going to happen, but something told me, hella, not today. So in a way, I was up next. I moved my card. I sneakily went into the aisle and started putting stuff away. And when we were finished, we're leaving, my teammates said, hella, you didn't get anything? I said, no, I don't think I like anything in this store. I'm not really hungry, but I was dying hungry. So I snuck to my room and called Bank of America at the time. I said, hey, I know I have $0 in my account. Can you guys allow overdrafting? So I'll be charged with the fee and everything. And I said, I promise you, I'm getting my first check the following Friday. I'm a professional soccer player. You can Google me. There's articles everywhere. And then this is how much I'm going to get paid. I'll pay you guys. They didn't want to do it. So I asked for a manager. The manager came in and said, hey, I don't know if that's guaranteed or not, even though you're showing, even if you're on the internet, but I'm going to give you a $30 credit so you can go get grocery. Mm-hmm. So that was life-changing. $30 credit got me a week worth of food. It was like, at the time I wasn't vegan, but I got turkey slices, I got bread, I got cereal bars. So that was a full week of grocery. So that day I was at the bottom. I was embarrassed to ask for family members, hey, can I get money? You're a pro. Who does that, you know? Yeah. So, but to the lighter side, last year, Bank of America invited me to speak in front of 600 people, 1% top bankers. So what a full circle.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, Hella, how do you tell folks who are listening, we got you in here for an inspirational story about your running, but a lot of people just listen to what you said, and we've all at some point in our lives had a scary moment at that grocery store, had that scary moment, this card going to go through. But for you, what is it about the embarrassment? Because I think we've all been ashamed to ask for help
judgment.
At times.
Yeah, you get looked at in a weird way. I was on Facebook pages. He's 20 players selected out of 400. So people expected you to have everything. And even having own family members saying, why don't you get a real job? You're chasing this dream that's not real. Mm. And as far as, and I tell my dad was like, no, discouraging even when I got into this run stuff. So people who were even closer to home. So it was like, I can't even go and ask them because they don't even think I'm serious about life or I'm trying to better myself. So there's so much behind it. And you kind of hide it and bottle it up and you don't know what to do. And you don't want to ask for a helping hand, even though you should.
Wow. And it's pretty incredible. You said for full circle. That's an understatement with the Bank of America. I love that story. That's phenomenal. I also love how you said you took something that was a punishment in soccer, which was running, and owned it. How did you get your mind to flip that?
Yeah, I being an athlete, I knew that I'm in control of my physical movement, even though it can be tough. So I just told myself, hey, do something that you're afraid of. Running hit me because it was like I couldn't sleep nights before fitness test. It was just so bad. So I decided to just said, let's try that. Give it a chance. And 10 minutes a day, no pressure, no coaches yelling at you while you're in the back of the line. It's just you that gets to decide if you want to stop or keep going.
Isn't that how it always works? You tell me I have to do something, I'm pissed.
Yeah. But if I decide.
Let me decide.
I'll do the best.
Right. Folks, we got Hella in studio with us. And you can tell probably already why we love this guy. We're going to continue with our conversation with him when we come back.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, You can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back here, Amy TJ with Hella in studio with us, a run streaker who is on, what day? Tell me the day again.
2,423.
423 days. He has not missed
really
a day of running.
26, right? You said you did. You just can't prove it.
I don't count it. Yeah.
You know, I was curious, what happened to that guy? Do you know whatever happened to that guy? And it, did you talk to him again? The Bank of America guy who gave you a $30 credit.
When I was there with literally was one of their CEO, I said, can you find somebody like in Washington? I would love to thank him. Because that day, imagine you have to perform as the highest physical being and you don't have any food. You don't have the energy. So he saved me that day, the whole week leading up till I got my first check. So I wanted to thank him. I said that to them, if they can ever find, and I took some numbers down to follow up, but I would love to thank him.
But again, this is a guy who, this wasn't a matter of some Bank of America policy. He just made a decision to
give me
a
$30 credit. Wow. And I know they can find it because they told me that I have history with them. If they look up my name, my Social Security, they can find my account, and I'm sure they can track back and see the history to 2013.
That's amazing.
Yeah, 10 years ago.
Maybe he's listening.
That's
that would be pretty cool. Hella, obviously, you ran across America, averaging 36 miles a day. You were going through mountainous terrain. You've done ultra marathons. And yet, we ran our first marathon, I believe, on the same year, New York City Marathon 2019. But you didn't train for it, from what I've read. But you, the three of us, all ran this last marathon, New York City 2023. Mm-hmm. And you were nervous before running it?
This one that I just did?
I read that you trained for it for the first time.
Yeah, Boston Marathon.
Oh, the Boston Marathon.
The Boston Marathon, yes, yeah.
Okay. How would someone like you actually still have nerves about running?
Because the 100-mile race, I had zero nerve. Both of them. Leadville 100, zero nerve. Western State 100, which is the oldest 100-mile race, zero nerve. Because I had experience running across America. You learn how to deal with your body and your mind, how to fuel when you need to, how to force feed yourself when you don't have any appetite because your body's still burning calories. We're talking about I burned 13,000 calories over 100 miles. So I had the tactic and logistic to figure the problem solve because I did it for 84 days. So that was nothing. I just knew I had to put the workout in and I'll be fine. But the Boston Marathon, I'm trying to run at a threshold pace. We're talking about holding no less than 6 minutes, 36 seconds per mile. So knowing that I have to hold that pace is another challenge within itself. So that's why I was nervous for the Boston Marathon. And as hilly as the course is, that adds more.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
6:30. Yeah. I can't run from the cops at a 6:30 pace, man.
That's what you say now.
We'll test that theory, TJ. No.
And how'd you do?
I missed my goal by a little bit. And the sub 3 was by 1 minute 34, but I actually, this is for the first time I'm going to say it, I was thinking like no slower than 2:50. I trained really hard. I went to the Boston course 2 times and ran on the course, went over Heartbreak Hill, the toughest part of the race, holding 6:36 per mile. I did a 23-mile long run. I did an 18-mile long run, 7 out of 10 level, so I was fine. That day of the race, I don't know what it was. I was just stuck in this pace I couldn't get out of. So this year's redemption year, and I'm going out there. I'm finding a flat course. And I'm saying this publicly, I'm going to run a fast marathon. I'm preparing really well for it. Yeah.
I believe you.
Yeah.
And I think you will.
Thank you.
For you, what's a fast marathon?
I need a 2:45. And I don't like to put my goal out there like that. Okay. I just like keep it quiet and then say, hey, look. But I'm going to say it because I'm going to work hard, whatever it takes.
Right.
If anything within my control, I need to get a 2:45.
It's so funny that you say that because it's probably the biggest question people ask when they find out you're running any race, a half marathon, a marathon, even a 10K. What do you want your finish time to be? And I never want to say it.
I never want to say it. You save yourself from the headache.
It's way too much pressure. It's way too much pressure. And every race is different.
Yes.
The weather, the terrain, what you ate last night.
Yes.
I mean, it could
be best prepared and then you get humbled the day of the race. Like, oh, I didn't know this was going to happen. Am I overtrained? Did I undertrain? My stomach's feeling a little funny. Why does a little
injury
came out of nowhere?
TJ
actually had to stop. We were on such good pace this past marathon.
We were crushing it, man,
for us. We were crushing it. And, not by your standards, but by our standards. Yeah. And my stomach at mile 22, 23, I actually threw up on myself.
Ooh,
and then
I'm so sorry.
Had to go off to the side and finish. I felt awful.
And we were the two of us standing there Hey, everybody.
It happens.
Get a look.
My parents were tracking me, and they were like, what happened?
Why was she moving?
For 5 minutes. And I was like, yeah, I might have been vomiting.
Yeah.
We did finish.
Yes. That's all that matters at the end of the day.
And it was still my best time ever, but it could have been so much better. Yes, it
was. Could you imagine? Isn't that amazing to know if that didn't happen? So next time, we hope that doesn't happen. And then...
And hello, please, this was not a quick little blah, blah. We were on the side 5+ minutes, maybe even 10 minutes of a stop. Yeah.
Seized. Wow. I mean, it was seizing, and I had to let it do it.
You know what? It's not even just about the time you wasted. It's the rhythm that you just got off of.
Mm-hmm.
So you going back to picking up that rhythm, it's much tougher. So huge kudos to you, because going back in there to that flow, because as soon as you stop, especially a course like New York, your leg starts to tense up. Your muscles start to be relaxed.
No.
And then it hunts you. So you guys are troopers to stop that long and resume the run.
Well,
that's why I don't even want to stop.
Like, I know. I was grateful. I was grateful to him. I was like, please keep going. He's like, obviously I'm not.
Obviously
but I would have been totally understanding if he had, because as a runner, you know what it means to have to stop your rhythm.
Yes.
In terms of understanding runners, I'm sure you get this a lot. People just ask why.
Why?
Because it's hard. It's not easy. And all of us have runs where we want to stop and we don't want to keep going.
Yes.
And a lot of ones where we don't want to start.
Yes.
Why do you run? What's the joy?
It's changed my life in so many ways. Not even like the extras. I'm talking about how I feel good mentally. I just find myself smiling because I feel like I conquered something that day. Even today, it was freezing. When I started, it was 26 degrees. But when I was out there, I felt like I was a trooper. You feel like a warrior. Like, I can go out there and battle this cold that I get to just endure for an hour, which is nothing out of my whole day. And then when I'm done, I just feel accomplished. I feel invincible. I feel like nothing can stop me. So that feeling alone was everything to me. And it makes me want to get out there every day to keep proving to myself. But what really helps me nowadays is knowing running is a privilege that not everyone has. There's people out there who can't walk, let alone run. I see it all the time. The more you run outside, you see people who were amputee by accident, by war, by birth. So it's almost like insult to me that I'm not using my privilege. They would do anything to have the ability that I have. So in my back of my mind, I'm doing it for them every day because they would love to have what I have.
You said back of your mind, and I wanted to get to the mental part of all of this, the physical. To hear you run an ultra marathon, you run 100 miles, that's just insane to most people, right? Physically, that you can do that. But the part about the mental still, right? You sometimes you don't want to even go. But then there are some times where you're out there and you don't even want to stop. What? How have you tricked your brain? And even as much running as you do, how much tricking of your brain are you still having to do?
You have to be crazy enough to tell yourself that you can do it.
Okay.
You got to literally tame yourself. Be a child. Imagine, oh, I can do this. But also you got to be smart enough to do the training while tricking yourself in that way. But I always tell people, we go out there to do these races and we get mad and we complain. Why? Who signed you up? You did. So I said, I signed up for this. No one made me do this. So I better shut up and just keep going. If I want to stop, hang my bib up, and that's okay. Walk off the course. No one's going to come and say, hey, you stink, but you tried. At the end of the day, you tried. So I have it in the back of my mind. I signed up for this, and I have this mindset, no matter the circumstances, if I have to crawl, I'll crawl. I have 30 hours to finish 100 miles, which is good to know, but whatever it takes, I'll get it done. And then you have to also know with these races, as the high gets to the highest point, don't get too excited because it's going to dip right back down. But as low as you are, just know that hold on a little longer, you're going to get a new high again. So it's just up and down. So whenever you're up, know you're going to go down. Whenever you're down, know you're not going to stay there. So you just have to play that game. And sometimes when you're down, you think it's coming soon. It comes forever. But there's a hope that it's going to come. So that's going to get you, oh, I just covered another 30 miles waiting for this. Had to come again. Now I see it, but you just covered 30 miles. But you were suffering, but you were expecting it to come, which helps mentally.
Wow. And I know that you said among your rules, they have to be outside. The run also has to be at least 2 miles. What's a 2 mile day for you?
Yes.
Did you have too much fun the night before? Did you not sleep that well?
Uh-huh.
For you to say, I'm only going to do 2 miles today.
So there's two examples. One just happened recently. So when I was leaving Mali to come to the U.S., it's really tricky with the flights. So I got up 5 a.m. and there's a big field behind my house. So I did laps for 2 miles and I just did circles. I just wanted to make sure I get my run done. So 5 a.m. in Mali was midnight here. So it was already the next day. So I wanted to be safe before I get on a flight. I get trapped in the tarmac for 12 hours. Next thing you know, I'm landing and it's already midnight. I don't want to compromise my run streak. So I did that. And the crazy thing is in Mali, you have to be at the airport for 3 hours before the flight. It's not like here you can show up. You have like TSA pre-check. No, you got to show up early like anybody else. So the earliest I could do was 5 a.m. there, so it's at least midnight. If I went any earlier than that, it would be still the same day before. So when I did that, when I got to the U.S. at 7:30 p.m., I got home, ate something, and I got out there again at 10 p.m. and did an extra 2 miles. So it was 4 total. So that got me to add a little more to it. And another example was when I had a wisdom teeth issue. So I had a wisdom tooth that was coming out, and there was a molar going up that was, the wisdom tooth was blocking the molar. So the molar was coming down on my jaw and the bone. So it's making the bone very thick and thin and fragile. It could crack. So I got the wisdom removed, the molar shaved, and I had to do an implant. So there's no gap back there. So when I did that surgery before going in, I got up to run 6 in the morning. Surgery was at 8. And I told my doctor, I told the ortho surgeon, hey, if I can't run, I'm not doing this. He's like, well, you're not going to have a teeth and you're going to actually lose sensitivity in your nerves and you can't talk anymore. So you decide. So I said, my pain tolerance is pretty high. So he only prescribed me high Advil. And so the next day, I waited till 8 at night and I went out to run 2 miles. Oof. The reason I kept it at 2 miles is because he did say something, the blood pressure. So the more I was out there, my mouth was getting full of blood. So it wasn't about I couldn't handle more than 2 miles, but it was safer for me to stop the bleeding. So I just tapped it.
Wow. Yeah.
So nothing is going to stop this streak.
That's my goal. If it's within my control, that's it.
Yeah. And you haven't had an injury issue that stopped you from the streak, have
you? I've had injuries, but it didn't stop me. And it was so bad. I've had frustration injury where it lasted 60 plus days. Where I get home, I'm in so much pain. I go hide in the back of the room, stopping myself from crying in pain. And I've had that. So the second time it happened, I cut my mileage from 60 miles a week to 21, which is 3 a days. That wasn't working. I cut it to 2 a days to 14 miles a week until I got rid of this injury. But there's no really way for me to say, hey, I'm going to, because I look at running as life. I'm not going to tap out and throw my towel in the bucket and say, that's it. I'm just going to do my best with it, whatever circumstance I'm dealing with. So that's the goal.
I'm sure you have had people come up to you and just say, you're an inspiration, but I can't run. Mm-hmm. Even though they're not injured and they actually, we know, physically can run. Mm-hmm. What would you say to somebody who wants to start a regimen, nothing like yours, but maybe just to even run a mile a day or 2 miles every other day?
Yes.
How do you motivate someone to say this is actually something that can be beautiful and joyful and beneficial in so many ways?
Yes. So first, be impeccable with your word. Whatever you say is what you're going to do. So be nice to yourself. Say, it may be hard, but I can try. You don't have to say, I can try. And I said, do something attainable. You don't have to go out there and do 10 miles. I know if I were to start 5 miles a day, I could have done that. I would have been done within a week probably. I said 10 minutes. It was time. It wasn't distance. So I was covering at just over a mile. So do something attainable and do it pressure-free. The pressure-free was the biggest win for me because no coach was yelling at me. It wasn't anyone pointing fingers. Hey, you're too slow. How come you're in the back of the pack? How come you're not up front? It was my own will. So if you do it with pressure free, that's amazing. Which meaning if you can only jog for 30 seconds at a time and you got to walk for 2 minutes, I count that as a run. Because not everybody, I can't tell somebody because you didn't do a mile, it doesn't count. If your capability is 30 seconds at a time and then you have to walk and repeat that, that counts. So this is why I love run streaking, but there's a run streak association that I disagree with. I don't like that page. I hope it didn't exist. They said if you don't run a mile a day, it doesn't count. And I said, who am I to tell somebody who is physically not able to do a mile without? If they can only do 5 minutes, if that's not covering a mile, you're not going to tell me that I'm going to go tell them, hey, that doesn't count. Their capability is 5 minutes. So whatever pressure free is the best, and you do how you want it. You set your own rules. And when you do that, you find yourself going longer, further, being better because you're getting better. And you're feeling comfortable, and you don't have to worry about the outside noise, which is really hard to do.
All right. We are here with Hella. Quick break, but when we come back, we're going to ask him, as we wrap up, about two things when it comes to running, if you're just getting started, that are going to be key to your success. We continue in just a moment.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Amy and TJ back here with our good friend and constant inspiration for at least my running is Hella. And he is here to talk a little bit about how to motivate all of us to keep up maybe our own run streaks, maybe not quite the way you do it.
Yes.
But one of your tips, and I love this because TJ and I live this, is it better when you have someone running with you?
Absolutely. I'd rather run with people than by myself. It just, time, it might not be the fastest pace, but it feels like it was the fastest time. You could be running a 10-minute mile pace for 10 miles. You're like, oh, we finished 10 miles already? Because there's so many conversations going on. There's so many things that you get to share with each other. It makes the time just go so much quicker. And you don't think about the pain of running because you're with each other.
There's that African proverb,
yes,
right?
If you want to go fast, you go alone. If you want to go far, you go together.
I love it.
She uses that all the time.
I love that. But I live by that.
You talk. Also, go ahead.
I was going to slow you down. So
No. You're the one that got me out there in the first place. Yeah. So it's
everybody has their own little like things that they bring to the table.
Yeah, and I would much prefer always to run with somebody.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Always. And we were talking about Strava, their stats, but one of them they put out is that their percentage, like 10% and 20% people run, they go faster and they go farther. Mm-hmm. If they're with a group.
Yes.
They have statistics that show
that. And I run with people who are faster than me and they pull me. Mm. I'm like, whoa, there's no way I would have been able to do that by myself.
Yeah.
Because I don't have that capability in my mind to pull myself because sometimes you hold yourself back a little bit. So it helps in so many ways. It really does.
Yeah. TJ's just asking me if he can now take the lead and I follow him so that he can pull me.
But it is. We run different speeds, different paces naturally.
Yes.
I always run behind her. And we don't talk during the runs. You do like talking while you're running to people?
Okay. Yeah,
I love
talking.
We did on vacation.
Yeah.
And it did go by very quickly.
Yes. Always, but you don't like to talk during the runs.
You know what it
reason.
Is? Slow down slow enough that you can have a conversation like this, conversational pace. Because that's also building your aerobic strength, skeletal and muscular strength. So you're not missing anything out of that. There's a saying, run slow to run faster. So if you feel like you don't want to talk because you want to focus on your breath, go much slower.
Okay.
The breath won't be an issue, and you will conversate, and you're actually building a different type of fitness.
See, that's when I think I told you, it was Matt James. I went on a run with him, a friend of ours, and he wanted to talk. And we ran 5 miles. I'm like, oh, I can't talk for 5 miles. that 5 miles went through. We were in natural conversation. Yes. That's when I said, oh, laughing, maybe I'm in pretty good shape here.
Yes. Yes. And then I feel like you get so much different, like, adrenaline through your body. Huh? Where, like, at pace like that by yourself, you might be breathing a little heavier, but that also gets calmed down because your body's at a different state when you're with people.
The other thing they say is key to success is setting a goal.
Yes.
Not just a goal of, I'm going to run a mile to their half, but some people, if you set a goal of, I'm going to do the 5K that's in 3 months,
yes,
you have a much greater chance of success.
I agree. My streak started with 10 minutes a day for 2 weeks. Mm. It was a 2 weeks goal, turned into 6+ years. So I had to start somewhere. I didn't say, I'm going to run every day for a year. After the 2 weeks, I'm like, I don't think I'm going to stop for at least 365 days. But I didn't jump to the 365 days at first. It has to be something small goal that leads up to the bigger picture.
All right. We heard your Boston Marathon goal, but do you have any other goals for this year?
Yeah. Running? So I want to actually get into Rotterdam for this spring because I'll be honest, it's flatter. It's flat as pancake. So I want flat and fast. So it's the redemption from Boston.
Redemption.
But, yeah, redemption year. So also want to do a run in Chamonix, France, which is the UTMB. Have you guys ever been there?
I have been to Chamonix. It is one of the most beautiful towns in the world.
I went 2 years back to back, and it's amazing. During UTMB, which is like the biggest ultra marathon weekend.
Are you running? So I climbed. I did some technical climbing on the Midi, is what they call it. You're not running up there, are you?
So you go through all the mountains. Like, we're talking about Switzerland, France, and Italy, and back into
like
France.
Like 12,000 feet, 13,000 feet.
Yeah, there you're high up there. And it's insane. It's a tough race. So I'm not going to do the 106-mile race there. It'll be like the 50-plus kilometers, so over 30 miles.
Ugh,
that's the
slacker
race I'm going to do there. And then...
Jeez, come on, Hella. 30.
Massive elevation.
Yeah, like, elevation. That's what I'm considering that.
The elevation is anything over 9,000, you have less oxygen.
Yeah, I don't want to be a fool and then say, you know what? So I'm going a little shorter but higher elevation. But I will do a 100-mile race in October this year, too. So it'll be two ultra marathon, one longer than the other, and a marathon in the spring. So that's my ultimate goal. Cool. And I hope I can get out there for the Olympics in Paris just to be there. I just love any running events. So maybe I'll do their marathon because they're actually allowing regular people run marathons at the Olympics this time. So you can actually, there's an app as well where like you can do challenges. They'll say you have to run 5K by 8 p.m. So they'll select you and give you random bibs. So there's an app that I've signed up for. There's challenges that if you complete. So they're going to get, I think it's going to be like 20,000 plus runners. So the elites are going to take off like a regular marathon like the Olympians. And then us regular average runners are going to go after. So
that's
people
amazing.
Can run the Olympics this year.
That's amazing.
That is
insane.
So
I'm trying
cool.
to like, if I can get in, I don't care about time at that point. I'm just going to say, I ran at the Olympics. I'm not
going to
sound an Olympian, but I ran at the Olympics.
I mean,
there's connections. I'm exploring every option.
That's amazing.
I'm trying to find a way.
You just massively piqued our interest.
Yeah, I think it'll be epic. And you can go.
Wow.
Yeah, and then you go do something like that. You can just be part of the world coming together every 4 years. That's what's best about the Olympics. So, and running is one of the biggest things that bring us together. So I hope I can get into that as well. That'll be like a side thing. Just do it for fun.
Yeah,
just do it for fun.
An extra marathon.
If it doesn't happen, I'll go spectate.
Well, I mean, and I love what you said about running bringing us together. Mm-hmm. I feel like that at every race.
Yes.
I feel like that even when I'm running down the West Side Highway, you see other runners. Mm-hmm. There's just this, there's a community, there's a camaraderie. Mm-hmm. And everyone's looking at each other knowing that you're probably suffering slightly,
yes,
but you're doing it anyway.
Exactly.
And there's some sort of, I don't know, fun camaraderie to that commitment.
Yes, and helping each other too is big. Like pulling somebody. One of my best experiences last year was actually not even my 100-mile race or any of that. It was I helped a blind runner finish the New York City Marathon. Yeah. It was the most fulfilling thing I've ever experienced throughout this run streak. So it wasn't about me and my time, but the smile on his face that we hit his goal and the excitement that he had, Rolando is his name, was just like, wow, this is bigger than me. And it reinforced that. So helping each other, running does that. And we help each other in ways that we don't even know. Even like you said, you guys running together, you're helping each other without even thinking about it. I think that's important too.
Yeah, in the past couple of years, I mean, on one hand, we could probably count how many runs we didn't do together.
See?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And you are into helping others.
Yeah,
I know that you give back.
That's my goal.
This isn't just about your personal goals or what you can accomplish.
No.
You want to give back, and I know you founded an organization, Souls for Souls.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about it, because it really is inspirational.
Yes. So Souls for Souls is a nonprofit that takes unwanted shoes, newer youth, and clothing, and turn it into opportunity. And their biggest goal is to, you know, you feed a man, they live for a day. You teach them how to fish, they can live for a longer. So that's the goal. They've helped so many people by giving used shoes, new shoes that can turn into business. In a lot of first world country and third world countries. So it's not just like third world countries. Even in the U.S., there's people here that don't have a pair of shoes. And the reason this worked out perfectly, I grew up in West Africa. A pair of shoes doesn't come often. So we're talking about, you have one pair of shoes, you have to use it for 5 years. And we take care of it so much. I wouldn't wear my new shoes until if it's occasion, if it's like holiday. Otherwise, it's not every day. You're walking around barefoot or you have sandals on. And sometimes you outgrow the shoes. It's not that you didn't take care of it. You just outgrew it and you don't know where your next pair is going to come from. So for running too, all you need is a pair of shoes. So it really worked really well for me to say, you know what, this nonprofit is perfect to run across the country for.
Well, Hella, last thing I want to get you out of here on is, a lot of people might be curious, a guy who runs as much as you do, what your gear is. Do you have a favorite type of your shoe?
I'm a little bougie with mine.
That's okay, but your shoe, your watch, the app you use, what is your go-to?
I just want to make this clear. To run, you don't need any of the stuff that I have. All you need is your shoes and have your body parts covered. You don't even need a watch. You can just go by feel.
Okay.
But still. I love running shoes. I live by it. I dissect it. I review them. Okay. I love super shoes, and I do think that they work.
Okay.
The shoe work if you work. If you don't work, it won't. You have to work. It enhances your work. I love those. I wear 4 watches when I run. And the reason is not to say I have 4 watches on, because I am a YouTuber. I review these watches. So I'm about to rotate my watches and get new ones that no one really talks about. So sometimes we don't have to worry about buying an $800 watch. Gotcha. Maybe there's like a $100 watch out there that's doing the job. So I like to do reviews like that and let my audience know this can work too. Yeah. So I wear 4 watches when I run. I love my running fits because I think that running is tough as it is already. But imagine, have you ever put on that sick running outfit? You're like, ooh, I feel good. I can't wait to get out there.
100%.
So it is the accessories that makes it fun. So I love to try to look as fly as possible. Maybe to me, sometimes fly. Maybe someone will look at me like, this is not it. But as long as you feel good. So I love my running outfits. I love my running shoes and my gadgets.
What's your running shoe?
I wear Hoka all day, every day. I started wearing Hoka. I told you guys about this when we met. I started wearing it when I did my first. I did the New York City Subway System Challenge, which is 245 miles. That's the length of the subway system in New York City. So the goal was to start in Labor Day and start Memorial Day and finish in Labor Day weekend. So it's 2 miles a day. So I did it in 1 week. So I was doing 35 miles a day. And when I started this, I reached out to Roadrunner. I heard about these shoes. That's good for ultra. It was Hoka. It was the Clifton 6. They gave that to me. I put 105 miles on it, and I fell in love with it. Huh. So I just started wearing Hoka, and next thing you know, I'm sponsored by them.
Okay.
But it's my go-to shoes. If you want a shoes for comfort, they have it. If you want a shoes for walking, even though it's running shoes, they have it. If you want a shoes to just train, they have it. If you want a shoe to go really, really fast, they have it. And there's a shoe that's about to come out that is beyond super shoes. And you know, you hear sports cars, there's like sports cars, supercars, and there's hypercars. I don't know if you heard of that.
Okay, yeah.
So the hypercars are like LaFerrari, Bugattis, and like Pagani, Koenigsegg. And then there's no such thing. Have you ever heard hyper shoes? So I just came up with this.
Okay.
So this shoe that I ran with this morning is going to be in hyper shoes.
Wait, what shoe?
Super shoes. It's beyond. It's embargoed right now.
It's not available to us.
So it will be available this year, but this shoe is extremely aggressive, extremely responsive. And I was screaming when I was running in it because how effortlessly I was moving for the pace that I was going at.
Okay.
But I love shoes like that because I depend on those shoes to help me hit my goals. I got to get fit, but they help.
Oh, and I have to ask one last question because I see that you're vegan.
Uh-huh.
And diet is such a big part of running.
Yes.
And it's so difficult to figure out what to eat, what not to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm blown away that you have been able to be a vegan and run the miles you run.
I've been vegan. Actually, next month, it'll be 8 years. Mm. I started before even the run streak, 2016. So I went to school for public health and sociology. I learned stuff and then things that weren't taught to me that I learned after college. So I decided to take my diet very seriously. I went cold turkey. I washed out forks over knives. That's all it took. 20 minutes in, I was dumbfounded.
Wow.
And then I decided to clean up a little bit. And the one thing I regret about being vegan is that I didn't do it soon enough. Because as soon as I went, it works different for everybody. Mine was instant energy. I couldn't stop. And some people, it takes about 2 weeks for your system to get used to it. So I think the reason I can go out there every single day because there's less inflammation in my body. We're talking about less animal protein and fat and things like that. So that causes inflammation. So my recovery is a little more efficient because of that, because of the plant-based diet. So I think that's been a very crucial to my run streak. But being saying that, I'm not a vegan that's always so strict. I eat my fatty food. I love my cheeseburgers. I love my pizza. So I'm not going to pretend here like I'm Mr. Perfect.
Okay.
Because even
you have
2 days
ago,
I drove to Hoboken. I would have drove to New York City to go get vegan cheeseburgers, which is real better burgers. The best burger you'll ever eat. You won't even know it's vegan. So I did that. I drove 40 minutes to come eat 2 cheeseburgers and a milkshake to go back home. It took 40 minutes.
Wait, it was still a vegan burger, though.
It was vegan, impossible.
So you're not cheating. You're actually, you're staying.
Yeah, I'm not cheating. I'm just saying I don't eat always healthy because veganism is not always healthy, too. It's about the ethics. Yeah. You can be healthy for sure, but also I want to also be transparent. There's unhealthy vegan food. I also have my share for the unhealthy vegan food.
And you're not a drinker. You don't drink.
I drink occasionally.
Occasionally.
I'm not, I can count in my hand how many times I've drank in a year for sure. But if I do drink, I love Malibu Bay Breeze. That was introduced to me by my fiance's uncle. That drink is really good. And then I got stuck in my margaritas way with salted rims recently.
They're delicious, aren't they? That's one of my favorites.
Those are delicious.
You can count on one hand how many times you've
drank. Yeah, in the year.
We can count on
weddings,
one hand how many days you
have. I get excited
at
weddings because that's the time where I'm like, okay, it's a wedding. We have to cheers. You got to have champagne.
Agreed.
Yes.
Well, cheers to you, Hella. This has been so much fun. I wish we even had more time.
Sorry, I'm taking a sip of
tea. We got
to
do round 2 or round 3, you want to call it.
Really, Hella, we will have you back for sure because you got a lot of things and events and whatnot coming up. And we just always love having you, man. We love talking to you. Always.
You know what we should do? We should do a run club. Amy TJ Hella Good Run Club, New York City.
All right. I'm in.
Yeah, 5K.
We can talk the whole time.
Yeah, 5K easy.
Okay.
1.5 mile up, 1.5 mile back, and then we call it a day. We chat,
I love it.
We hang out, we eat.
Okay,
and
this is happening.
We can talk about, come check out this dope podcast. If you're bored on your run, you can just listen to it as you go. Look at that.
He's brilliant.
I love it.
Yeah.
Andy, why didn't you think of that, man? All right, well, Hella, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. You'll be hearing from Hella again here on this podcast. 100% sure.
This is incredible.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Hella. Yes. And everyone, don't forget, you can follow our podcast at Amy and TJ Podcast. Until next time.
We'll see you. Amy and TJ here.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.